Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A. We're going to tease you today with an interview with an international singing star, the folk singer Tom Chapin, who has come to Prescott several times. Our buddy Tom Agostino at the Folk Sessions has brought Tom Chapin to town several times. He will be entertaining on the 31st at the Prescott Elks third floor Crystal Ballroom. It's a beautiful location, and tickets are going pretty quickly. So if you want to see and hear Tom Chapin, his wonderful songs, his wonderful stories on the road, you want to get those tickets quickly by calling the Elks Theater at 777-1370. Also on today's show, I'll be talking to management consultant, business guru, and author Mark Villarreal, who has written a book, The Millennial Factor, about how to manage and motivate millennials. That is coming up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
Varicose veins or legs that ache or feel heavy shouldn't keep you from delivering your best smash shot on the pickleball court. The Vein Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center can get you back in the game. Our team specializes in diagnosing and treating vein disease, a serious vein-related circulation problem. YRMC's Vein Center will customize your therapy. If a procedure is needed, you'll undergo a state-of-the-art non-surgical treatment right at the Vein Center, and your care will be provided by a skilled vascular medicine specialist with the highest certification for care of the arteries and veins, an exceptional vascular medicine specialist and team, a customized approach to vein health, and the most advanced non-surgical treatments. The Vein Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Fee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers.
From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
And of course, we want to wish everyone a Happy New Year.
You said that already.
Okay, well, how about warm wishes for a wonderful winter?
What?
Don't make me say it again. I think I hurt my tongue.
Oh, brother.
That's us.
Call Gettle's High Desert Mechanical and start the new year with a new furnace. Now offering plumbing repair and service.
I'm Mrs. DJ. We'll be going on the air in just a moment here. Hold on, please.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And no sooner are we back live at 2:05 than I have on the line Mr. Tom Chapin. Tom, welcome again to Prescott. You've played here several times on behalf of our buddy Tom Agostino at the folksessions.com. Tell us about the show you're going to do for us at the third floor ballroom in the Prescott Elks Theater.
Aries and a nice evening of singer-songwriter, well-sung, well-played. I'm bringing a guitar and banjo and auto harp, and going to be having an evening of good songs. That's the plan.
And
like
I'm
it has
just,
been for many years.
And I'm just guessing some great stories too.
Well, that's part of this the process is, and the stories can be in song form or in an introduction form or whatever. But it's one of the great delights of my life is to visit places and have an audience of folks who are strangers and or maybe know a little bit about me, and then by the end we feel like we're we've done this before, like we're friends.
And you're one of the few singers who, on your tours, you will do all ages shows and family shows. How do you tell those apart?
It's really the who's in the audience, for mm-hmm. one thing, and also it's the material. You know, I have something like 26 or 27 recordings now. 13 of those are for families,
mm-hmm.
and I say families as opposed to kids because, as you know, kids' music has to be played by somebody. And the highest praise I get is when families say, "Tom, yours are the tapes we take on long car trips."
How great! How great!
And so, musically, it's not a lot differently, but the subject matter is, you know, if this sure. is a conversation with you and me and a 6 or 7 year old, it'd be a different conversation that we're having right now, and that's really true with the music as well. I've been fortunate to write with some wonderful collaborators over the years, and I have a body of work that's can do a. In fact, the first couple of times I came to Prescott, Tom had me do some family shows, which is great.
Speaking of family shows, Tom, you do family shows from the stage because between you, your late brother Harry, your brothers Jim and Steve, and your daughters Jessica, Abigail, and Lily, the Chapin sisters, you've all been successful singers and songwriters. So I have to ask you, because I ask every musician this question, tell me about the music you heard in your home as you were growing up as a kid.
Well, my dad was a jazz drummer, and he and my mom split pretty early, but in our house, and then my mom remarried when I was 7 or 8. But my mom loved opera. My oldest brother Jim, who was not the musical brother, he would listen to the top 20 was, you know, and he mm-hmm. and he sit there writing, "Oh my gosh, look, the Everly Brothers went from number 7 to number 6, you know," and so we'd hear that. But Steve and I were both choir boys in an Episcopal church in Brooklyn Heights, singing the great, Anglican choir stuff,
mm-hmm.
The great hymns and the Messiah and all kinds of stuff. And then we also took classical lessons. Harry was a classical trumpet player first, and I took clarinet for 6 years under duress. But when I was 12 and Harry was 14 and Steve was 11, we heard a recording called The Weavers at Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the Weavers were the seminal folk group that included Pete Seeger and three others, Ronnie Gilbert, Lee Hayes, and Fred Hellerman. And they inspired not just the Chapin Brothers, but the Kingston Trio.
Oh,
Peter, Paul, and Mary, the Limelighters, Tom Paxson. You go down the line, and every one of them were inspired by the music and brought into American music as opposed to the American songbook. American music by those folks. And so we learned Woody Guthrie songs, and we learned mm-hmm. Pete Seeger songs, and we learned Leadbelly and all that stuff. And,
oh,
and that changed our world, and we became the Chapin Brothers. And for the next 10 years, we were a folk group in and around New York City. And we were 15 minutes by subway from Greenwich Village. And so we'd start doing the Hootenannies in Greenwich Village and hearing everybody who came through. So it was a very formative and fertile time for music, and it inspired us. And here we are, you know, 50, 60 years later, still doing it.
Isn't that amazing? You know, speaking of the music you grew up with Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and people like that, you and your brother Harry co-founded Why Hunger. Tell us about that.
Well, I did not, although I am the longest running board member, but my brother Harry and an ex-priest named Bill Ayers, radio DJ in New York, started a group, an organization to combat hunger. Realized that hunger is a solvable issue. You know, there's enough food to feed everybody, and especially here in America, 10 or 12 times over. But it really has to do with poverty. If you're poor, you have to make terrible choices. And
mm-hmm.
right now, there's something like 41 million Americans who might not eat today. And 13 or so million are those are kids. And a lot of them are old people too. And so, Bill and Harry decided, it's not going to be solved by a concert or, like a Bangladesh concert or something.
Yeah.
It's only going to be solved by people working on it now and next week and a year from now and 10 years from now. And so in 1975, they formed then World Hunger Year. Now it's called Why Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And we put hungry people in touch with food and help them toward self-reliance and work very hard to try to change food policy, who gets to eat, and what kind of nutritious, good food they can eat, who grows it. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful organization. Your listeners can just go on whyhunger.org and find out the amazing work that this organization does. It's one of the real proudest things that I do. And I was Harry's benefit band the last 5 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too expensive to bring his big band, so he'd call me up, and the two of us would go. And I was so thankful because I was doing my own solo shows, and he was doing his.
Sure.
And I had no idea that his life would be cut short. It was 37, maybe 38 years now.
38 years ago in a car crash. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
And you know, his legacy still lives on. And I was going to mention to you, Tom, before I did a little looking into your history here. When I was in St. Louis, my favorite radio guy there was doing an interview with the actor Jim Belushi right about the time his acting career took off. And just a few minutes into the interview, and thank goodness it was taped, not live, he asked about John Belushi. And Jim Belushi said, "You asked me one question about my brother. This interview is over." But you and your family not only have always embraced Harry's music, you've cut an album of his albums, or you've cut an album of his favorite songs, and you tour singing his music, don't you?
Well, not solo. I do it with my brother Steve, who ran Harry's band for the last 6 or 7 years of Harry's career and produced several of his music. But we do one called Harry Chapin, A Celebration in Song, mm-hmm. with my daughters, Harry's, Abigail and Lily, and Harry's daughter, Jen, and my brother Steve, and Big John Wallace, and Howie Fields. I'll tell you a secret. We were very close to getting to do that this year in your neck of the woods outside of Phoenix. It didn't quite happen, but we're hoping next year we will. It's a wonderful show. It's about two-thirds or so are Harry's greatest hits, and then the other ones are songs that fit, mm-hmm. fit, because all of us are musicians, as you said. My brother Steve still plays with a band. He calls it the Harry Chapin Band, you know. Mm-hmm. And with Big John Wallace was a high voice in Taxi, and the low voice in Mr. Tanner. And we're all great friends. And I'm extremely proud of the legacy and the music of my late brother Harry. Mm-hmm. As I said, we started together as a group.
Sure.
And I still miss him, mostly in the family way. You know, I mean.
Sure.
He's missed his grandchildren, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every once in a while I'm singing Cats in the Cradle or something, and he suddenly go, whoa, you know. Most of the time I can do it fine, but every once in a while it hits hard.
Sure.
Especially around the holidays.
Oh, I can imagine. Tom, I have to ask you too. Speaking of Cats in the Cradle, the first time I heard Harry's music was Taxi. And then, of course, Cats in the Cradle became a gigantic hit. How did that change Harry in any way, and how did it change you?
I remember getting a call from Harry. He was on the road, and he said, "Hey, Cats in the Cradle is number one on Billboard, Cashbox, and whatever the third, all three things. It's number one." And you know what I'm thinking? I said, "What?" He says, "How do I follow this up?"
Yeah.
He says, "You know, it's got to be the going, not the getting there. It's good because I can't even enjoy this. All I got to think about is, man, you know." And that's one thing. I also remember him talking about that song. He says, "You know, it's this song. You write this song, and it's not mine anymore. It's theirs.
Oh,
you know, it's the audience
that
owns the song." Because it's become a folk song, you know. It's become a song that's in the zeitgeist. And there's actually a really great documentary that's in the works right now, which I've seen the early cut rushes for, called When in Doubt, Do Something. And they put together a bunch of things about Cats in the Cradle, like 6 minutes of how it's become a word, you know. It's, and they, it's been in sitcoms and jokes, you know, like a father and son. "Oh, don't Cats in the Cradle me," you know, because it's so much in the, you know, in the world. And that's what happens, of course, with a hit like that.
Yeah.
And Harry was very lucky because, you know, you mentioned those two songs. Not a lot of people get hits with their best songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a Taxi is an astonishing ride, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And so is Cats in the Cradle, really, those incredible stories. And so that body of work is great. And I always do a couple of Harry's tunes when I'm, mm-hmm. you know, in my stuff. I have, as I say, you know, my whole rift of music that I play, but
sure.
but it's a treasure to be able to sing his stuff.
Well, if I can just allow, if you can allow me one more comment about Harry.
Sure.
Here in northern Arizona, we skew a little bit older than the rest of the country. Money Magazine calls the Prescott area a retirement mecca. So I got to tell you, with all the baby boomers here in northern Arizona, if you sing Cats in the Cradle, you're going to need to hand out Kleenex.
I know. That's happened. I the first time I played an old age home that they had come and sing, and I sat there with these, and they were very polite, and then I did Cats in the Cradle, and we all got emotional, you know, because I'm looking out there at these old men and old women who just because it's true, it's a true story, you know, it's a story, even though it's not about his own dad or it's about everybody's dad and everybody's mom and everybody's kid. You know, no matter what kind of child or what kind of parent you are, it's true. You know, that's the deal.
Sure.
Your job is to get them to grow up and take the best of what you are.
Yep.
You know.
Tom, not only are you a family singer and everything, but also you've got a family musical cruise coming up in late May. Tell us about that.
This is one of those, as they say, bucket ideas. I've been to Alaska twice as a performer, but that means you fly in, you know, race to the gig, do the gig, and fly out. But this is going to be an Alaska cruise, which people have told me is just amazing, going from Seattle up to Ketchikan and Juneau and back. But it's going to be a musical cruise. The whole idea is that fans of mine and people who want to take the cruise would love to be in a smaller. It's going to be a big boat, but we get a whole section ourselves, and there are four nights of connection with music. The first one is just sort of a meet and greet, and then three full nights of music with my daughters, Abigail and Lily, and myself and our families, and we're going to be doing, I'm just so looking forward to it. I talked to a friend who was on this exact cruise last year, and she said it was just fabulous, so if anybody's interested in making that cruise, you've been thinking, man, yeah, I'd like to do it. You know, I've always wanted to do that. Well, it'll be much more fun when you have every evening you have music as well, and the full days. And it's in late May, but you can go on my website, tomchapin.com, and the cruise is very visible there. You can just check on it and see the dates and how much it is and all that stuff. But if you're interested, please do it soon because it's filling up, and by the end of January we have to sort of figure out exactly how many people we have and stuff. But this May, I think May 20-something, but you can find out what it is. And it's for 7 days from Seattle up to Alaska and then back, and cruising through and seeing all, you know, whales and ice flows while there is still ice, and polar bears, and, you know, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Tom, another artistic venture of yours. Tell us about the library book you co-wrote with Michael Mark.
Ah, well, one of the great things about writing family music is that people have been doing videos, even the ones I haven't made. There's so many videos of This Pretty Planet and library song and stuff. But Simon & Schuster, three years ago, there was an editor there who we did a book called The Backwards Birthday Party, and which was successful. And then we did the library song, which became the library book, and it's already in its third printing, and Scholastic picked it up. And the happy news is there's a new one coming out, which I've just seen the art for. It's beautiful, of our song, This Pretty Planet. And that's coming out in sometime this year, I think, in the early fall. And it's really amazing thing as a writer, and I'm a photographer, and my grandfather was a painter, so I'm, and Harry was a filmmaker. You know, I love the visuals, but watching a wonderful artist take your words and your song and then make them into a book for families is pretty magical. Got to tell you.
Boy, this is amazing stuff. And just tell us some of the other great musicians and songwriters you've performed with and worked with.
Well, let's see. Tom Paxton, Pete Seeger is the one that inspired us initially. And then I was lucky enough I live here in the Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I must have done, you know, something like 30 or 50 benefit concerts with Pete for various things, including the Clearwater, that wonderful organization based on a boat, an old sloop that still is going up and down the Hudson River and taking school kids out to just, you you know, introduce them to this incredible waterway, and it's helped clean up the river. You know, I've lived here my whole life.
Sure.
And watching the difference in the because of Clearwater, there's another boat called the Riverkeeper that have publicized how we could clean this place up, and it's a great kind of symbol for not only the Hudson Valley but the whole country and the world, really. And so let's see, who else? I used to open. And when I first started playing as a solo act, I opened for all kinds of folks like Genesis and Mary Travers and just on and on. I can't even tell you all the folks I played, but I've been doing this. My first album came out in '76, so that's what is that, 40 years ago,
yeah.
But I started playing guitar when I was 12, and I'm turning 75 this year. So
isn't that something?
So it's been over 60 years of doing this, and I'm I still love it. You know, there's something very magical about a live performance.
Yeah.
Where we're all in the same place together. It's so different from TV or movie or anything else. It's a magical thing. So I still love it. Love it. So I'm looking forward to coming your way.
Mm-hmm. And so is our listening audience, because they'll be up in the Elks Theater's third floor ballroom. It's called the Crystal Ballroom. It's a very intimate performing space. It's just beautiful up there, and you'll have all of your fans very close up. I have to tell you one last thing before we go. I know one of the songwriters you've always admired was Steve Goodman.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just to tell you how old I am, I saw Steve Goodman opening at the St. Louis Arena in 1978. You'll never guess who the headliner was.
Was it Harry?
It was a young comedian named Steve Martin. Can you believe that? How's that for a pairing?
I can believe it, absolutely. And Steve Goodman became a great friend of my brother Harry's and mine as well. And the year Harry died, he always used to do a big benefit concert for Why Hunger at University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana on his birthday, December 7th. And so the year he died in July. Who did I get? I filled in, and Steve Goodman came down, and we did it together that year. And he died shortly after Harry.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely guy. Incredible loss. And but what those great songs he wrote.
Oh yeah.
And the city of New Orleans. Later on, I speaking of books, I narrated a children's book.
Ah.
And based on that. And I won my third Grammy for that. So the great thing is I get to sing it all the time.
Isn't that great? 26 albums, 3 Grammy Awards, and what a career you've had. Tom Chapin, thank you so much for joining us today on Q&A. We hope you knock them dead. We know you will. Friday the 31st, get your tickets by calling the Elks Theater box office. That is 777-1370. Only a few tickets remain, so act quickly. We look forward to your show coming up in Prescott. Continued great success with your recording career. Thanks for joining us today.
What a delight. Be well. I'm looking forward to coming your way.
You bet. Have a great day, Tom. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That is the great Tom Chapin coming our way on Friday the 31st. Hey, stay tuned, because we're going to take a break for local and state news and weather, and then a chat with Mark Villarreal. He specializes on managing and motivating millennials in the workplace. That'll be an interesting chat. That's coming up in just a few minutes on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at KQNA.com. Don't go away.
Findlay Subaru Prescott believes in making the world a better place. And the Subaru Love Promise is our vision of respecting all people, working to make a positive impact. When you buy or lease a Subaru, you're stepping into a culture of caring that starts with your community and travels everywhere a Subaru goes. Come in and take a test drive in the Subaru you want to be seen in, like a new 2020 Subaru Impreza with a 2019 IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus certification and better retained value. Take the keys for as low as 1.9% APR financing, or lease for as low as $225 a month with 2 years of complimentary maintenance included. Findlay Subaru Prescott and FindlaySubaruPrescott.com. Doing our part to give back to the community and make the world a better place.
Offers on approved credit. Excludes taxes, government, and 495 dock fee. Now through January 31st, 2020, lease for 36 months with $1,495 at signing and zero security deposit. 10,000 miles per year. Stock number S44346.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Prescott Elks Theater, Sunday afternoon and Wednesday night classics resume this Sunday. Mary Poppins at 3 o'clock on the Elks Theater's big screen. And at the Harkins 14, if you've been waiting to see the Oscar-nominated movie Ford vs. Ferrari, and it's a good one, that stars Matt Damon and Christian Bale, tonight and tomorrow are your last chances on the big screen since it leaves here after Thursday. And if for some godforsaken reason you've also wanted to see the Tiffany Haddish train wreck Like a Boss and you're a true masochist, well, that too, mercifully, will be gone after tomorrow. But if your little kids love Frozen 2, don't forget the Harkins 14 has just the show for you. Today at 2:40 and tomorrow at 12:55 at the Harkins, it's the Frozen 2 sing-along. Stay tuned because it's time now for news and weather, followed by a chat with Mark Villarreal about millennials in the workplace. In fact, I believe that is Mark right now. Let's bring him into the show here. I believe that sounds like Mark Villarreal. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing fine.
It's great to hear you again. It's been a couple of years since we've had you on the show, but because millennials now are such a big part of everyone's life, since we baby boomers are no longer the biggest chunk of the population, you've got a terrific book out. It's called The Millennial Factor, 10 Steps to Managing Millennials to Success. And one of those first things, one of those first steps, is to acknowledge certain myths, truths and half-truths about millennials. What are some of those?
Well, I mean, and there's a lot of arguments out there, you know, so like I said, there are some myths, but I think with every age group or workforce group, there are differences because of how we were raised. So, you know, I would say that a lot of people say that the millennials' values are different than, you know, I'm a baby boomer myself. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if I took the top 10 values that they have compared to the top 10 values that I have on what I need from an employer, they are actually the same, but the order of importance is different. And that's where people see the difference, and they think that they're just totally different, but it's that they have things that are more important to them than we do that mm-hmm. they put higher up in the pecking order.
Sure. And now you've written too that millennials are the most courageous workforce I've ever encountered. In fact, in my experience, I find I would have to hold them back much more than push them forward because of their courage and eagerness. True?
Well, that's very true. And that's a part of, like I said, how they were raised. They were raised in the digital era that you and I were not. Mm-hmm. And so they're used to quick answers, quick resources, or I'll find it myself. Mm-hmm. Where when I was in the workforce, it's like, well, I'm waiting, show me how to do it, and they're just used to that. And so they're so courageous, you know, I found them in managing them, I'd have to hold them back and slow them up a little bit to help them make better decisions.
Now, millennials traditionally tend not to be real loyal and may jump from job to job. So how do you invest in training someone who might not be around a long time?
Well, you know, in our book, we take you through 10 steps because I hear that all the time. Millennials aren't loyal. Why should I invest in them? I'm like, well, you haven't shown them what a career is. No. So, and that's the difference from the job. So, you know, and so some of the first steps is from day one or before day one, teach them about the importance of your mission, vision, and values, which is high up in their pecking order of importance. And then also design career lattices that from day one,
they understand how they can grow within your organization. And I say lattice instead of ladder because it's not only up or down, but millennials will move laterally for positions that they're more comfortable with as well. But it teaches them, it takes them out of that entitlement of I'm entitled because I worked here that long. It's, no, I understand from day one what knowledge and skill sets I need if I want to advance. And so you set that environment up at the very front.
Mark, I don't know if this is addressed in your book, but whenever I deal with millennials, and we have several I get along with great here, the topic of the difference in social media and internet knowledge between baby boomers and millennials always comes up. How do you bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, I think you educate all gaps, but you know, smart leaders understand the strengths and weaknesses of other people. So I use millennials for their strengths. So they taught me many things about, there's some things I had to stop them with, like texting customers or putting LOL in their emails.
Yeah.
But they also, then we learned how to bring texting into our business, and then we educated everyone. So we were able to use everyone for their strengths and appreciate them from that, but formed it out through the whole team.
Mark, we have to take a break for news right now. We're going to come back and talk more to you about the millennial factor. But then before we go, we break for news, I have a really important question for you. Tell us about the adventures of Park Ranger Brock Cliffhanger and his junior park rangers.
Well, that's my children's series. I have two books out. The last one's about the Great Smoky Mountains. And real quick, it's designed to teach kids to love our national and state parks, but also designed that they focus on the right role models, which park rangers are, and it teaches them safety and conservation rules about the park. So it's really designed to help kids to always dream big, which we want to encourage that.
And we're going to come back with a lot more from Mark Villarreal in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQ&A.com. Don't go away. More coming up with Mark.
Start it up. Keep it up. That's the way the world works.
Mark, right
so
now, we
just
are
need
in
it to work.
Break,
batteries plus bulbs backs you
right
up with your neighborhood's
standby.
Largest selection of batteries plus bulbs, plus phone repair to do everything we can to power your cars, phones, and everything in between. Finding and fixing with the know-how you need right now. Broken screen? Dead battery? Batteries plus bulbs can fix that. Screens repaired and batteries replaced. Learn more at batteriesplus.com.
At Kachina Animal Hospital, they know your pet is like family. And as with any family member, your pet deserves the finest possible health care. So at Kachina Animal Hospital, they've set their standards very high. They have a compassionate, friendly, and experienced support team, as well as highly qualified doctors and technicians to treat your dogs, cats, and pocket pets. For more information or to schedule an appointment for your best pal, give them a call at 772-8225. That's 772-8225. Or online at KachinaAnimalHospital.com.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Wednesday the 22nd. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Wallach and Volk. There has been an initial court appearance for the young Phoenix mother accused of killing her three small children late Monday. 22-year-old Rachel Henry was ordered held on that $3 million bond by the judge presiding over her initial appearance. Prosecutors noted the nature of the crimes and her apparent history as reasons for seeking the high bond amount.
The information we have, and by her own admission, she has a history of drug addiction, specifically to methamphetamines. And my understanding is her kids have previously been removed from her home by DCS related to her drug addiction.
Court records indicate Henry's children were smothered to death and that Henry sang to them as she killed them, then laid them on a couch as if they were taking a nap. It's the NHL All-Star break, so no Arizona Coyotes hockey until next week. Mostly sunny and warming toward the weekend with highs near 51 today, 57 Thursday through Sunday in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Chilling after bedtime to a mostly clear 31. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a high today around 58, up near 63 tomorrow through Sunday, cooling overnight to a mostly clear 36. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQNA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:36. We are talking with business guru, author, and management consultant Mark Villarreal. He has a book called The Millennial Factor, 10 Steps to Managing Millennials to Success. Mark, you mentioned before the lattice as opposed to the ladder. And I thought of a seminar I attended years ago when I was in commission sales in California. And it was a Zig Ziglar seminar, and he said something that relates to that very directly. He was comparing two people who had been with the same company 30 years. They were hired the same day. One was still working at a grunt job at low pay. The other was a top executive, and they were conversing one day. How did this happen? And the executive said, well, yes, when we were hired the same day, you said you went to work for $3 an hour. I went to work for the railroad. And the other thing was that he says, I have 30 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience 30 times. Do you come across that in your work?
Yes. I mean, and that's why when you educate millennials about the lattices of how they can move, it really opens up their mind. And that's where they're like, this is a place that interests me. Mm-hmm. And all age groups. But, you know, so anything that you do for millennials only enhances your environment for everybody. And so that's why I say, you know, create career lattices. So it really encourages people to take self-accountability, because once they understand the lattice and the skill sets known, then if they start taking self-accountability, maybe even learn some skills on their own, what's that employer going to say about them? They're going to say, I want to grow this person. I want to invest in this person. And that's that person that learns, like you said, went to work for the railroad. And I love Zig Ziglar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have a story about an organization in Cleveland that reached out and stated that they have one millennial within their employment, and with their growth and transformation, they wanted to increase these numbers, but for some reason they weren't attracting millennials. Tell us about that conversation.
Yes, and, you know, it's a very large organization in the automotive industry, and they're like, we think that'd be great. We're going public, so we're going through a transformation. And I said, well, let's take a step back, and let's look over a little things while we're on the phone. First thing I went to was their website, and I said, where's your mission statement? Mm-hmm. And it was nowhere to be found. They didn't have it on their website, and I explained it should be prominent, even whether you're trying to attract millennials. But millennials are strong on culture, and your mission statement is your reason for existence. Mm-hmm. They want to know why I'm working for you. Second of all, your values, which are up there, they're on page 3, I'd make them more prominent, because your values are what you're telling everybody. Here's what we expect you to live by daily and how we manage our people and what we believe in. And that's high up in that pecking order of a millennial. But once again, it works for all workforce groups. The next thing we did is I said, let's look at your hiring ads. Are they not attracting? And like many hiring ads, it just said, here's the job. And here's the description. And I said, here's where you need to put, here is our mission statement. Mm-hmm. Here is the values that we live by daily. And then here's the job opportunity and the description. If you believe that we are a fit for you, then please apply. Because that's where, even before you hire someone, you're letting them know that culture is very important, and it really gravitates towards that millennial. Like I said, high up in their pecking order, you know as well as I do, and as a baby boomer, it was about job security and that paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
From a millennial, it's like, I want to make sure I'm working for a place that has a purpose and they live the values that I do.
You know, on that note, Mark, I can recall when I was 19 and I was considering scholarship offers from different colleges, I had uncles and aunts who had worked for their entire lives for civil service. Here I am, 19 years old. They're telling me, oh, get a job with civil service. They have a great retirement, which is just the thing a 19-year-old doesn't want to hear. So a lot of it comes down to communication, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's where the program, you know, if you read the book and the 10 steps, in fact, in there is build a communication plan. And so that's actually one of the steps, and it describes what you need to communicate, how you communicate, and where you need to communicate, because it's not just one time, but often. Mm-hmm. And so it takes them through those steps, because great leaders repeat themselves constantly, but that's not just verbally. It's written. It's in their manuals. You know, it's in their documents. It's on their website. And so it's continued communication.
Mark, when it comes to creating a company culture, I had a supervisor several years ago, a very, very good one, who told me one of my first days at work, he said, "You're going to make mistakes on this job. We know that. But as long as the mistake you make is consistent with our mission statement and with our values, you will not have to worry about your job."
And that's excellent leadership there. I always talk about you need to empower your people and define the parameters, you know, that they can make decisions. I work in leadership all the time, and when I teach leadership, I'm like, make everybody that works for you a great problem solver. Mm-hmm. And then when everyone around you is a great problem solver, how difficult is your job? And so they need to know the parameters in which they're empowered. But once they do that, then when we want them to make decisions, and it only brings up a coaching opportunity if that decision isn't exactly what you would agree with, mm-hmm. but you use that as a coaching opportunity.
We mentioned Zig Ziglar before. One of my first radio jobs, we aired the daily broadcast of Earl Nightingale. And he, of course, was one of the original motivational business speakers. And he said something one day that still sticks with me. He says, the way to success in any business is to hire the right people, provide them with the resources they need to do their job well, teach them what they need, lead, and then get the heck out of the way and let them do it.
Well, and that's so powerful. I tell the story. I always say hire people smarter than you. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where people unfortunately shortcut the hiring process. So, we have a program where we teach them, and you heard a little bit of part about it, is what do you do about that's on your website? How are you attracting people? But even when you bring them in for an interview, how's that interview process? It's the old saying, hire character, train skills. Ah. But then when you hire people smarter than you, then you're actually just doing something, and leaders need not to be afraid of having people smarter than them. Great leaders lead with humility, and that's why they bring in people like that, and then, like you said, they turn them loose.
You know, on that note, Mark, back in my hometown of St. Louis, I recall interviewing with a retail company for a job there. I didn't get the job, but they did something I've never seen anybody else do, and I thought it was marvelous. Now, when you get that letter or phone call or whatever saying, thank you for your interest in us, but we don't have a place for you right now, obviously you're disappointed. But with that letter, and this being a retail chain, they included a 50% off coupon any purchase. I thought that was a stroke of brilliance.
Yeah, anything like that. It's the old treat everybody with respect. My mom used to say everyone's a 10, meaning that they're equals. So we teach that if the people didn't succeed here, if you treat them with respect, you'll be surprised on how that comes full circle. So even employees that you have to let go that maybe just didn't work out, but they gave every effort, that if you treated them with respect, they will become your potential customers. They will send you referrals of, hey, I didn't work out there, but yeah, I think you'd be perfect for them, and they're a great mm-hmm. company. And that was just that process that organization did by, hey, sorry, we didn't hire you, but we do value you. Yeah. And that's what they're displaying is their values.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the mistakes you think millennials make when they apply for or interview for a job?
Well, they really need to understand the organization's mission, vision, and values. Now, vision may be difficult because that's more internal, but they can ask about it mm-hmm. if they're in the interview process. But mission and values should be external. And the reason being is because whether they understand it or not, that is so high up in their pecking order that if they accept the job and they can't go in and change the organization's mission and values. So they have to be in alignment with it, and if they are, then that's great. Another mistake would be is that if they don't educate and understand the organization's initiatives, and so that could be strategic initiatives, how they're trying to grow. because if they don't understand them, then they won't know how they can align to those as well. Mm-hmm. When you, and so we teach millennials to understand them and then align their goals with them. So once again, if you have any employee, whether millennial or regular employee, that you can see that they're aligned with our goals and our initiatives, mm-hmm. and they're taking some self-accountability to improve their skill sets, I want to invest in this person. And it just becomes a cycle that you invest in them, they become loyal, and they're long-term.
Mark, we mentioned before how the greatest generation and the baby boomers grew up with the expectation of having the same employer for many, many years. That's no longer the expectation with millennials. They're going to be on the move more often, sometimes changing careers. So let me ask you this. How do you feel with that turnover present about conducting exit interviews when they do leave?
Well, I think exit interviews are extremely important for any organization. And, you know, when we work with organizations, we work with how their exit interview should go, because you want that transparency to be there as mm-hmm. open as possible. Sometimes, unfortunately, some employers, when people leave, they guess why they left and they don't do exit interviews. Oh, they left because of this. And they put the blame on the employee instead of the organization. So interviewing all age groups, and especially millennials, to understand, because of fast pace and technology and everything moving so quickly, the 20-year job is less in existence than it was back when you and I worked. Understanding why they left, how it affected the environment, and sometimes the smallest things can make a big impact. And that's what organizations need to realize.
Mark, you've always spoken about leadership, culture, business development, and strategy. You've got more than 35 years' experience in building teams and achieving C-level status within the organizations. I have to ask you, in all that time, do you have any really weird stories about companies that made you wonder, how does this place stay in business?
Oh, yes. I call it planning again with no results. So I've worked for many great organizations and CEOs that were great mentors to me, but I was part of one organization to where every year, and maybe even before the year is up, they would just change everything they were doing and go into planning sessions. And we call that planning again with no results, because they're not slowing up to stop why their results aren't there. And if they have more money to throw at it, that's what happens. They have turnover. Mm-hmm. But it takes three things in an organization for them to be successful: people, strategy, and execution. And if one of those are lacking, it will affect the success of initiatives. And if they're not small enough to say, did we have the right people, or did we have the right strategy, or was our execution off, all they're doing is going into great planning sessions. And those are the ones that you have in meetings just to plan the next meeting. So it becomes very in a cycle that's very frustrating.
Right now, of course, the economy in most areas is booming. Do you find that corporate CEOs and department heads might be a little bit blind to what problems might be brewing because things are going so well?
Well, I see some that are, and then some that are taking proactive steps. Right now, emotional intelligence is the big word out there. Emotional intelligence has always been in existence, but the companies that are trying to get ahead of the curve understand it, and so they're trying to advance in it. You know, the big difference between what you call EQ, which is versus IQ, mm-hmm. is that EQ you can improve on, and so they not only know that their leaders have to have more emotional intelligence with the diversity that's coming, but also the more that their people have emotional intelligence, that's even more important than IQ. So I do see many companies that ignore that, and those are the ones that they're just riding the tide, and that's where, one of my favorite sayings, if you remember, was shortcuts get you lost. Mm-hmm. And when that slows up and their people aren't ready for the turn because they can't comprehend, and that's what it comes down to, that's when they'll have the struggles.
Wow, it's an amazing book. It's The Millennial Factor, 10 Steps to Managing Millennials to Success. How can our listeners get a copy of The Millennial Factor and learn more about what you do and perhaps hire you for a seminar?
Well, obviously my book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My website is markvillareal.com. And, my email is mark@markvillareal.com, but you can find my contact on my website, And also, I have actually a free download of my leadership lessons from Mom. If people go to my website and want to sign up for that right now as well. So I have a free giveaway there.
You know, I remember talking about leadership lessons from Mom with you a couple years ago. I have to ask you one closing question, though. When I was taking commission sales training in California, it was pounded into me this mantra. The prospects and clients and coworkers that you talk to, they may not remember exactly what you said. They may not remember exactly what you did. But you can bet for years they'll remember exactly how you made them feel. Is that true?
Well, that's very true, and that's why how you come across. So, like I said, I call it a systems and process that we teach when we teach sales. So it's how to respectfully ask the questions, but I also teach two-way accountability, so which is very respectful. Hey, look, when we schedule for a meeting, I'll make sure that I'll be there. I'll provide the information that I said I would, and if you can do the same, because I know that your time is valuable to you. So there's a way that you can really show respect up front, and but also build that accountability that every salesperson really would like.
Well, we appreciate your time today on Q&A. Mark Villarreal, continued success in your publishing and your management consulting. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and take care.
You do. Bye-bye. That is Mark Villarreal, the book, The Millennial Factor, 10 Steps to Managing Millennials to Success. Stay tuned. I'll have tomorrow's Q&A guests and some final thoughts coming up in just a moment on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com.
GMC Prescott. Ring into big discounts off MSRP and save thousands on all new GMC Sierras. The 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 Elevation goes all in with the bold presence and technology, boosting your altitude and your attitude. Ring in discounts over $12,000 for a Findlay GMC New Year price of only $34,550. That's 26% off MSRP. The 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab showcases a strong stance, innovative tech, and remarkable power to get the job done. Ring in discounts over $12,000 for a Findlay GMC New Year price of only $33,820. That's 26% off MSRP. Or take 0% financing for 72 months. Findlay GMC in Prescott and at FindlayBuickGMC.com, the local dealership that supports your community. GMC, we are professional grade. On approved credit, must finance through GM Financial. Does not include tax, license, title, and 495 doc fees. Stock numbers G43952, G44750.
This is Linda Nichols with the City of Prescott Parks and Recreation Board. The Prescott Dog Park is a gem of our community. The park opened in 2014 and hosts over 400,000 annually. APS was a major contributor for the park, and we thank them for their generosity. Now we need your help to support new amenities. As a business or a citizen, your contribution will help improve the park for years to come. To donate or to become a sponsor, go to PrescottDogPark.com or call 777-1558.
Prescott, the Quad Cities, and Cottonwood. Are you ready for some honest debate? I'm Ben Shapiro, and I'm excited to be part of KQNA's lineup of live talk. My show is the fastest-growing conservative talk show and podcast in America. Our show is fast-moving, hilarious, hard-hitting, and comprehensive. Join me every weekday at 3 as we confront the liberal culture of fear and intimidation head-on with real facts and honest debate. Join us weekdays at 3 for the Ben Shapiro Show on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, we've all heard the last year or two with Netflix getting all these Oscar nominations. By the way, more than any other studio. Well, what does that mean for the future movie theaters? Well, personally, I hope Netflix makes those movies available to screen in theaters. But we also might be seeing a serious threat to broadcast television. Here's why. Streaming services are selling like crazy. Not only has Disney Plus, which signed on in September, Disney Plus and its competitors, of course, have millions of new customers, but even Netflix has reported a boost of 20 million more subscribers, with so many great movies and TV shows moving from the big four broadcast networks to streaming services to watch on demand instead of by the network schedules. Well, speaking of movies, new movies opening this weekend at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley include Matthew McConaughey and Colin Farrell in the British gangster comedy The Gentlemen, the English-Polish drama The Song of Names about the search for a man who was a child prodigy captured for the Holocaust, so it was said the very night he was to make his concert debut on the London stage. That stars Tim Roth and Clive Owen. That sounds like a good one. Also, this being January, of course, the cheapy horror movie The Turning that will also be coming out starting this weekend. You know, movies released in January and February tend not to be very good, but fortunately the Harkins has so many really good movies playing right now. I could spend a week there, so get yourself out there when you can. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro, followed by Talk of the Town Prescott. Join me back here tomorrow with Joanne Robertson and Laura Ismert from the Planetarium at ERAU for their very special live show, and our buddy Brad Clifford, the AD at Yavapai College, for an update on spring sports. That's Q&A Thursday at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.